glorify? How do you give credit, my brother and sister in Christ? How do you give credit to the good Lord? How do you glorify God? The year is 1776. Our country, our colonies are about to embark on a revolutionary war. They have decided that their only chance of survival, their only chance to win, if you will, well, it's George Washington. He said he would take the job as commander-in-chief under two circumstances, two conditions. One, I do not want a salary, just pay my expenses. Can you imagine that playing out today? About to run off the plane, okay. And then he said, the second thing is, we will give credit to God, we will glorify him, we will have days of fasting, we will have days of prayer, and days of thanksgiving. They all agree. He goes down, I think it's to a little city, it's about, I don't know, a couple hundred miles outside of Boston. That's where his troops are gathered. He goes to meet him, they introduce him as the new commander-in-chief, and he tells them two quick things. One, we will not be here very long, we will leave at darkness. Number two, we are headed to Boston. Man, all of a sudden he said, man, you could see it in his troops. One of them had the courage to raise his hand. He said, General, there's 10,000 redcoats in Boston. There's over 250 ships. I don't know how many cannons. Do what now? We're 300 miles. He said, listen to me. Under the good Lord's protection and his guidance, we are going to leave in darkness. We're going to take the cannons, all 50 of them that we got at Fort Ticonderoga. We're going to take them with us. We're going to travel all night, every night. I am actually going to walk with you, so I'm with you every step of the way. We're going to get to Boston. We're going to actually go up around the outskirts of Boston. We're going to line our 50 cannons up at the top. And when General Hack wakes up, he's going to look up and see that his town is surrounded. Your cannons cannot shoot up, neither can ours, but ours can surely shoot down. And he says, and that's what we're going to do. He no longer gets those words out of his mouth. Somebody, messenger, comes up. Chief, general, if you will, there's a note for you. He reads it. According to one of his soldiers, he reads it. He looks up. He says, give me a minute. He walks around. They said they're watching. They said he had to be praying. Comes back and he says, get the wagons, get the cannons, we leave now. We will be in Boston for the morning, I promise you. As a result of it, they march all night. The next night, they get there, they put all the cannons. General Hack wakes up. Man, he looks up, and there are cannons ringing, if you will, Boston. True story. He leaves Boston with all 10,000 troops. Not a shot was fired. Our first victory in the Revolutionary War, our first major victory. My brother and sister in Christ, man, everybody's just yelling the praises of, man, General Washington, man, you're the guy. You're it. Man, we can't thank you. He said, stop. You give glory to God. Because if it hadn't been for him, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be in a position to win this. You give glory to God. He said, no, General, we need to give glory to you. And he's beginning to walk off, and he says, no, you're not. You're going to give it to God because that's where it belongs. And he begins to walk off, and the same gentleman that asked the question, he says, you know, General, you never told us what was written on that note. He stopped what he was doing as he's walking away, and he said, we were out of gunpowder. It's all about glorifying God, my brother and sister in Christ. That is that gospel. 7 out of 10 lines. The good Lord says, who are you going to give credit to? You're going to give it to you, to your neighbors, to your friends, to the ones in power, to the ones that have money, the prestige, or are you going to give it to me? Now stop. You need to understand where they're at. They're at the Last Supper. Make sure you understand the setting. This table in the Last Supper is in the shape of a U, kind of like how you're sitting right here. In the middle of the table is a vacancy. We believe that's where Judas sat. And the reason we know this is because James and John were on his right and left. And the only way that he could dip and give an hors d'oeuvre instead of passing it in or around was to pass over. So my brother and sister Christ, in the Jewish world, every Passover meal that you went on, that I went on back in the day, you would drink 4 cups at every Passover meal. Between the second, the first cup is the, if you will, the cup of like an introduction. Then the second cup is a reliving of what it was like back in the day when they went out into the desert. when Charlton Heston went out in the desert. Got it. As a result of it, he dips and he hands him an hors d'oeuvre. He eats hors d'oeuvre and then he leaves. Then the couple bless him. That's the one that we celebrate here. This is the one where he says, this is my body. This is my blood. Now Judas is left. My brother and sister in Christ, he's telling them, look, my time is short. And so will yours be. So you better learn to give credit where credit is due. The only thing we bring to the table, the apostles, ourselves, myself included, is sin. My brother and sister in Christ, and he's telling them, someday they're going to come for you. If they came for me. So imagine. Now this is how it works. Peter, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Ephesus, Alexander, Telesorbus, Hyginus, all the way to Francis. The first 40 popes, their average tenure could be anywhere from 3 to 8 years, usually about 5 years. That's how long it takes them to catch up with you and kill you. Why? Because remember, Christianity, ability to worship freely, doesn't happen until the year 400. Contrary to what most people think, Constantine didn't make Catholicity legal. He made all worship legal because he was pagan, even though his mother, Saint Helena, was not. That being said, my brother and sister in Christ, go back to where we were. At the end of the day, when push comes to shove, every pope dies. So when Peter goes to Linus, because he's got to tell Linus before it's time, Linus, here are the keys. Sometimes I wish I'd have been there for that conversation. No, I'm good. I'm good. You got a bunch of other apostles. Give it to them. Because as soon as you put the bulls on my back, I'm not going to make it. Sure enough, he lasts about 7 years. And then Peter, Linus, Cletus, all the way down the line. So my brother in Christ, he's telling them, your time is short. You better make sure you give me the glory so that I can protect you. All things come through me. My brother Christ, go back in Scripture. You know what's amazing? I'm telling you, you and I know Scripture better than we give ourselves credit. The fact of the matter is, all I would have to do is explain something to you, and you would say, oh, I remember who that is. You may not recall the name, but you remember where they came. So, for example, how does Veronica glorify God? By giving up her only clothing, her veil. How does Arimathea glorify God, giving up his tomb? Don't you understand? There's no public cemetery. I'm going to tell you where he's getting buried. Well, actually, he's going to be martyred. My brother and sister in Christ, about a year later, he'll be martyred for the faith. My brother and sister in Christ, what about St. Paul? Man, what does he give up? Everything. Money, fame, fortune. He gives up everything. He's got to go back to being a tent maker just to make ends meet at night. Man, what about Longinus? You know, we walk past this guy all the time. Do you know what he gave up? He gave up his 401k. Yeah, that's right. When you're a Roman centurion and you're a lead dog like he is, man, your life is good once you get past the hurdle. In other words, when you retire well. So for him to proclaim, truly that man was the Son of God, his 401k, it ain't even a 201k. It ain't okay. Yeah, now you got it. Within a year and a half, he'll be beheaded. Every one of the people that glorify God, from Simon of Cyrene to Veronica to Arimathea to Mary Magdalene to Lazarus, who's the wealthiest man of his day. And yet, do you know when Christ finally resurrects, do you know he walks away from everything? My brothers in Christ, here you and I sit 2,000 years later. How good are you and I are glorifying God? Well, let's see. Do you glorify God, my brother and sister in Christ, in the way you speak about him? Do you glorify God on how you pray to him? Do you glorify God on how you do adoration, if you do it at all? Do you glorify God about how you teach about it? Well, let's see. My brother and sister in Christ, how do you glorify God when the word MF or GD comes out of your mouth? 40,000 words in the English language, and you can't find other words to fit in besides curse words, especially those two. My brother in Christ, do you and I glorify God by the way we send an email or text message? Do you not understand? The good Lord said in the book of Revelations, I will judge you everything you did with your body. Everything you do with your body, I will judge you based on good or evil. There is no neutral ground with him. You're either walking towards him or away from him. So you're either glorifying him or you are not. If he reads your email, and he does, your text message, and he does, the Facebook, and he does, Or are you glorifying God? Will you glorify God, my brother and sister in Christ, when they ask you to pray? Will you make the sign of the cross clearly and distinctly? Will you glorify his mother by saying, oh, I'll pray, and you break out the Hail Mary knowing full well you're going to be the only one pitching that prayer? Do you glorify God in protecting his mother when they say she is not ever virgin? You got to stop hanging your hat on the fact that people come to me all the time and say, you know, Father, you know, the church hadn't been teaching Scripture, because if it had been, I'd be better at it. I can't defend the faith. Hold on a minute. I've been here 10 years. If you went to Mass every Sunday, just on Sundays, for 3 years, you heard the entire Bible. 3 times in a row, now that I've been here 10 years. There is no excuse for not being able to defend that she has to be ever virgin. We glorify God by what? Saying, I'm not really sure, I don't know where it's at. Do you take the time to study it? Do you glorify God by spending more time on your cell phone than you do in the Bible? Do you glorify God by spending more time watching the news? I mean, who would do that? I mean, do you really think you're going to get happy after watching it? My brother in Christ, do you glorify God by getting involved in gossip, or do you glorify him by standing up and saying, you know what, I need to step away from this? I tell you what, better yet, let's pray for him. How do you think they're going to get better if you and I don't pray for them? My brother and sister in Christ, who are we giving credit to? How many times have I seen professional athletes? I'd like to thank my coaches, my players, and the owner. Okay, God didn't even make the top three. At the end of the day, we have no self-gifts. You know what's amazing, my brother and sister in Christ? We're nothing but renters. And while we're on the topic, let's finish the race. Come tomorrow, there will be a big vote. And the vote will be whether or not we should kill our children, as if we should be voting on this, as if it's a health issue. Surely isn't for them. My brother and sister in Christ, I pray the Supreme Court sticks to their guns. Do you honestly believe the good Lord is going to bless us? Oh, I got it. Because we have a good economic policy. Does it look good to you? Oh, I understand. We have good foreign relations. Does it look that way to you? My brothers in Christ, how can we keep going back to him saying, bless what we do in our country, and we kill his children? Did he not just say, love one another? My brother in Christ, how many times do I hear people say, man, you don't understand, Father, it's my body. No, that's the problem. It's not. It is not yours. It's not mine. We're renters. He's already told you and I, you're not a master of your own life nor of your own death. And you have been purchased at a great price. We're going to have to stand before him and give judgment with everything that we've done. What is he going to say when you and I go before him? And he said, how did you vote? Oh, that's right, you were too busy. Somebody else will vote for you. Man, I ain't time to call my representative. I'm busy. It's your soul. What are you going to say when he says, where are my children? Oh, well, look, Lord, look, I understand. Everybody has the right. Where are my children? Well, you don't understand. Everybody's got to have free. Oh, yeah, you got free will. And I'm going to promise you, he will not bless our country. He will not bless what we do. He will look the other way. And we will reap what we sow. You must stand up and let it be heard that it is now enough. No more. It is wrong to kill our children under any pretext. Amen. Amen. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Please stand.